Here.
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 Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For anyone listening to the recording, we do not have citizen commentary on today. We hold this an opportunity for county council to meet and discuss issues today. And for that, the item A has been taken care of by the media presentation on 22
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm pleased to present this evening the partner from Baker Tilly, the city's auditors, who's here to provide some overview information on the 2018 annual financial report. Mr. Knibble.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you this evening. As I have in the past, they give an overview of the audit results, and I'll let Paul give you more detailed numbers. My presentation is typically... John Knapel. I'm partner with Baker Tilly. We're located in Milwaukee.
Before you do that, how come you never signed the letter?
How come I never? I mean, person. Yeah, we always sign our firm name. The firm is the one that stands behind it, not me personally. I mean, I'm part of the collective partnership. As in the past, we've gone, just give you a high-level view of the results, and there's certainly more detail that will be presented this evening, and you can ask questions as we move along. As part of the audit, as part of hiring us, the objective is to express an opinion on the financial statements. And your financial statements, unlike many of our clients, are prepared by management. We do not prepare the financial statements for them. We assist with some, you know, making sure that all the technical standards are followed and the reporting standards. But management does prepare these financial statements, so they are your financial statements. And the only part of this document that's really ours as your auditors is our opinion, which is included in this document. The reports that we've issued, again, are on the financial statements, and we've also issued a communication to those charged with governance and management. In the financial statements, our opinion is what's called an unmodified opinion, commonly referred to as a clean opinion. Means your financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with the accounting standards that you must follow. Those standards are issued by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. It's a nonprofit entity, which is the recognized body that establishes accounting standards for all governmental units. An unmodified opinion is the highest level of assurance you can receive from your auditor, and that's exactly what users of the financial statements want to hear from us. Users of the financial statements being citizen members, yourself as management, and elected officials, bondholders, rating agencies, etc. The other document that we issued is entitled Communication to Those Charged with Governance and Management. This document includes all of the communications that are required under our professional standards to you as the those charged with governance. It also includes certain comments and recommendations for management to consider regarding things in the industry, new standards which are going to be coming into play in future years, and other things that may help strengthen controls and processes in the city. It also includes some certain information regarding next year's audit. Particularly, we work for the council. You hire us. We work with management. We don't work for management. Therefore, if there are things that you as a body want us to consider as part of our audit process and planning for next year, we certainly welcome those comments and concerns that you might have. You certainly have reach out to us to provide us that information. The big takeaway from the communication document is that we did not identify any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your controls over financial reporting and accounting. And that is not a common occurrence in this particular industry. There are many governmental entities that have material weaknesses in their controls, but the city has done a great job in establishing those controls and keeping them in place and making sure that they're effectively operating.
From county council and members of the finance committee, both the items that
moving on onto my presentation, there's a section here, financial highlights, government-wide financial statements. That's where everything comes together. All of your assets, liabilities, and assets include your capital assets and other non-cash type assets. Also includes all of your liabilities, long-term and such, that make up your financial statements. It's broken out into two sections, governmental activities and business type activities. I won't go through the individual lines, but the governmental activities is the city general operations. Business type activities are your utilities. Top part of this table is just the activity for the year. On a full accrual basis, this is what a for-profit enterprise would operate and report their activity on. So expenses were $33 million for the general city operations. There were a variety of what we call program revenues, which are specific to functions. $42 million expenses, $11 million program revenues. General revenues are general, for the most part, your taxes that you collect. General, they go for recovering the costs of all functions across the board. And then there's some state revenue that is not earmarked for a specific function or project or program. And then some the transfer, which is essentially the tax equivalent that the water utility pays over to the city. Bottom line, the governmental activities had a decrease in equity of $3.2 million. For the year, the business type activities had a decrease of $2 million. Business type activities, very consistent with the prior year. The governmental activities, as Mr. Rosenberger will talk in more detail on his presentation, is essentially the developer grants that you provided in TIF number 5 that essentially you paid out, but you really don't generate an asset at this point. That asset will come to you in future years' tax increments that are collected. The net position, this is the equity of the city in total. It's broken out into three categories: the net investment in capital assets, and what that is the cost of the capital assets, which includes infrastructure, roads, streets, bridges, etc., and then all buildings and vehicles and furniture and fixtures, etc. The cost of that minus depreciation and minus the debt that was used to finance the purchase of those capital assets. And so that's the net number. Restricted of almost $26 million at the end of the year is a variety of components to that. These are funds that are restricted for use by either legislation by state or federal governments or by your own ordinances. And a big chunk of that is TIF related. Almost half of that is related to your TIF districts. The unrestricted deficit of $4.9 million, which is a big swing from the prior year. It was a positive 11 the prior year, now it's a negative. That again has to deal with really TIF number 5, the fact that you borrowed $23 million. A fair chunk of that was paid out to developers for which there's no asset that that gets offset against. And so that debt that is was attributable to that is really offset against the unrestricted position of the governmental activities. Again, future year tax increments will begin to offset that as you pay down the debt with tax increments, and that you should expect that with a successful TIF district to disappear over time.
Assets with the infrastructure that was installed because of that?
It's our understanding that the developer, the payments made to the developer were for assets owned by the developer and not owned by the city.
About a third of the assets that are going to become city assets, water, sewer, storm sewer, streets, but about two-thirds of the payments will become developer assets, not city assets.
Moving on to the next page, top of the next page, summary of your governmental funds, general fund, debt service fund, and your TIF districts, and then in the accounting literature, there's what we call non-major funds. It's not that they're less important, but they're just lower amounts of activity for reporting purposes. Rather than having, you know, a dozen major funds, you can squeeze that down. Again, I won't go through the individual activity. General fund had a surplus of $749,000. Now, this is on a generally accepted accounting principles basis. You do report some of this activity on a budget basis, taking into consideration encumbrances and open purchase orders that were in existence at the end of the year. This is on a generally accepted accounting principles basis. So $749,000 of surplus in the general fund. Debt service fund had a surplus. Your TIF districts had $10 million surplus, but most of that is due to the borrowing, unspent bond proceeds that existed at the end of the year. And then all the other funds had a surplus of $2.6 million. Fund balance, going across the bottom, $7.3 million in the general fund. Little bit considered non-spendable for prepaids and in advance. The assigned balance is for open purchase orders that were existing at the end of the year. So they are assigned for liquidation of those purchase orders. $7.3 million, $6.8 of which is unassigned, although you do have an internal policy of maintaining a fund balance of a certain level. You're certainly well within that policy. Almost $1 million of debt service funds that you're carrying forward, and you do need some of that for principal and interest payments that come due before receiving your full tax levy. TIF district, $12 million. Again, most of that is falling in TIF number 5 with unspent proceeds from that activity. And then the non-major governmental funds, in that $9.7 million, which is restricted by is legally restricted, about $1.7 million of that is in your utility improvement fund. $6.1 of it is in your development fund, $6.1 million. And then of the $6.7 million that is assigned by council for specific purposes, $2.6 million is your equipment replacement fund, and $3.3 million is your capital improvement fund. And all of those funds are detailed in the comprehensive annual financial report. You can get, there's a lot more detail in that document that can tell you exactly what makes up all these numbers. And all of them are set aside for the specific purposes of those funds. The two enterprise funds that you have, the water and sanitary sewer, the water had a decrease of $400,000 to its net position, sanitary sewer about $1.7 million. What will be pointed out again in Paul's presentation, on the sanitary sewer side, your rates do not incorporate or are not attempting to recover depreciation on certain sewer assets. And therefore, you will always have a deficit surplus for the year because the full depreciation is included in the expense, but your rates are not recovering that. And that's a policy decision that the city has made. For cash flow purposes, both utilities generate positive cash flow from their operations, $2 million for the water, about $120,000 for the sewer. The non-capital financing that you see for the water utility, that is the tax equivalent that's paid over to the city. Well, capital and related financing, that's really the net activity of your debt payments against your capital assets that you purchased during the course of the year. And so the sewer actually had a net, both are cash flow homes. So combined, the sewer had almost $1 million of debt and capital payments, and then the water utility about $300,000. Water added $832,000 to its beginning cash position, and the sanitary sewer used $300,000. Budgetary compliance, the document that is in the CAFR does include budgetary comparisons. This is just a comparison for the city's general fund. And you'll see there that your final budget on the bottom line anticipated using $1.4 million. You actually added $627,000 of fund balance. So really a $2 million swing. You're better off, $2 million better off than what your budget anticipated when you adopted it. A big chunk of the favorable variance on the expenditure side is a portion of your budget, the contingency fund, which you did not need to tap into during the course of the year. And then lastly, on the last page, a summary of the long-term obligations. You do not have any revenue debt that you've issued. It's all general obligation bonds and notes. $30 million in the governmental activities for general city purposes. Approximately $24 million of that is all related to the TIF districts. There's another $2 million of compensated absences. Those are vested benefits to your employees that are owed upon their term, leaving the city. And then there is a net pension obligation for the retirement plan, and then a net OPEB obligation for the other post-employment benefits that are due to the city employees at their termination of the employment with the city too. So overall, $34 million of general city obligations on the business type activities, the utilities, $19.8 million. $18.8 million of that is being paid by MMSD as part of the Ryan Creek, the interceptor. You're getting that you issued the debt, but MMSD is repaying that debt as it becomes due. So really only about $1 million of general obligation debt out there for the utilities. From a statutory standpoint, you're allowed to borrow 5% of your equalized value. That's $201 million under state statute. You have the capacity to borrow another $151 million or 75% of that limit. You have an internal policy, though, of which lowers that number down to $80 million of a limit. We have a capacity of $30 million under your own established policy, so that's about 38%.
John, on this particular chart, is the way you've listed that defined by some standard? Because to me, it's capital. It should be for 5%, not for 75%.
Well, your limit is 200. Well, you could show this differently. You could show the limit, then show the outstanding debt, and then that would, and then the 25% would be what you have used.
And available balance. Or available.
Well, 25%.
I'd like to do that. Enforce that for now. Listen, I mean, okay. The casual observer who didn't.
Because we borrowed 75% what we can, but it's really 25%.
That's right, 25.
You want to show, you would prefer to see what we, you have used as right. opposed to what is
yeah.
available.
Right.
I'm not suggesting you go use it. I understand exactly.
That's true.
But that's okay. It's still 11 minutes. 150
minutes. Those are my prepared comments. I certainly want to express our appreciation for all the cooperation we received from management and other others in within the city employment that certainly helps us get the audit done efficiently and effectively.
And I'm happy we got a conference room back yet, not today. Any questions we got?
I had a lot of my questions answered at finance, but there were a couple things I wanted to point out that came up at the finance meeting. So this kind of follows up on the mayor's comments about pages 4 through 9 in the document we're just looking through now. And so on page 5 on the bottom, up there's articles that are mentioned. And point number 2 says, five easy internal controls your government should implement. And we discussed it at the meeting, and Paul said he would go through some of these for us. Bottom of page 5, bullet point number 2.
She's on the communication
advocate. Yeah. I just
wanted to And so I just wanted to let you know that the Finance Committee, with Paul's assistance, we would probably talk about some of those things in the future. And then page 7, where it's down on the bottom, right before all the bullet points on the bottom. It says, we recommend the council review this standard and start planning now how this will affect your financial reporting. And what they're talking about is making sure we have all contracts and leases. And I'd like to say that I strongly agree with us doing that and getting started now. We used to always have contract binders. I know the engineering department had one. And so this would be something that I think we, as it states, that we should get going on that. I'd like to encourage us to do that. And then I would like the our financial people to talk about the summary of uncorrected financial statement misstatements that are in the very back on the, under the summary, which is all the past. So if you could just update us on how that water utility and sewer utility funds and what happened.
It doesn't have a page number. It's a landscape page. I can tell you exactly what those numbers represent. In the water utility, and this is a transaction that occurred, I don't know exactly how many years ago, but at least 5 or 6 years ago, I believe, where the utility incurred costs to refurbish a water tower,
abandon some
wells, and the Public Service Commission, under their accounting rules, allows utilities to amortize that overall cost over a period of time. However, generally accepted accounting principles don't. They would say you should have written all of that cost off in the year that it was that you incurred those costs. Now the previous auditor did not, and so management at the time prepared their books and records using the PSC's basis of accounting, and the previous auditors did not take exception to that, even though that certain that isn't generally accepted accounting principles. And so what we, under our professional standards, when we identify a transaction that doesn't follow generally accepted accounting principles, and it's not material that it would impact our opinion, but it is significant enough that we need to communicate it to you, that we put it on a report like this. So this represents really the last year. I believe it's the last year that this cost will be amortized. In 2019, that number will go away. It disappears entirely. So it's the unamortized cost of what happened a number of years ago and should have been written off in prior years, but we didn't ask you to. We did not ask management to adjust their financial statements. It didn't impact our opinion on the financial statements, but it is something that we needed to communicate. The sewer utility, the sewer fund number, the $77 million. $77,000. Represents accrued interest receivable from MMSD on the loan, on the receivable that is recorded. Currently, the accrued interest expense on the loan is being recorded, but you also have a receivable from MMSD for the same amount, and truly the interest that's to be received from them should be recorded as a revenue as well, and that's not happening. Again, these numbers do not impact our opinion on the financial statements. We can work with management to, again, the water utility one's going to disappear. The sewer fund management wants to make a journal entry next year and record that interest receivable. That'll go away as well. But again, these are our standards require us to communicate to you if we've identified departures or items that don't follow generally accepted accounting principles, and especially if they're not material, but yet they are significant enough that we feel we need to tell you about them.
This is my favorite project. Everyone wants this. This is RCI.
So I'll work at the speed in which council would like to go through this, but I do have some general overview comments on how you can read these financial reports that are before you. So these are the comprehensive annual financial report for 2018 for the city. They're made up of two reporting bases. Those that you see on a monthly basis are called the governmental reporting. They're a short-term basis, pretty much on a cash-type basis. Proceeds of borrowings are recorded as revenues. Payments on loans are recorded as expenditures. But on a long-term basis, borrowing money is the easy part. That's where you get it from a bank. But then you have to figure out how you're going to generate some revenue to pay it back, and that's the harder part. And the longer-term basis would have the revenues on a loan be just recorded as a liability, and then whatever resources you're going to use to repay that loan, typically taxes, then become your revenues. So it's a matching of revenues and expenses based upon when they transaction occurs as opposed to when the actual cash moves between various parties. The report has got a various organization. That table of contents at the beginning helps you walk through that particular part of the report. I would highly recommend to the council that if you're going to spend some time with this, the statistical section, the tables at the back of the report provide a wealth of information to you, and I'll refer to pieces of that as we go through the presentation. There's an awful lot of information that you periodically talk about at your monthly or your bi-monthly meetings, and that information is in your CAFR document. So if you have it available to you at the meetings, you can refer to it. As John mentioned, the Government Accounting Standards Board sets the rules that we operate under. There's some state statutes, but generally speaking, the accounting literature sets the standards that this report is prepared under. And the difference between the short-term and the long-term basis is that fixed asset accounting, borrowing of funds, pension accounting, OPEB accounting, that's in the government-wide part, the long-term view of things.